Certainly been good to be here again this morning. Appreciate the good prayer and the songs, and glad that you're here. And I'm trying my best to learn everybody. Visitors, I'll try a little harder with y'all, but I'm trying to learn everybody, and I think that's important. And I hope you know who I am by now. I'm just Brother Johnny. Not too much on formalities as far as Brother Carver. I like to be Brother Johnny, and I'm going to tell y'all why. As the older I get, the younger I want to feel. Brother Johnny sounds a whole lot better than Brother Carver in terms of age. So I appreciate if you just call me Brother Johnny. It's good to be with you. I want to start, if I can, today talking to share with you about a phone call I got a few years back. Well, it's been several years. I was pastoring a little church in Gallatin, Tennessee, and a husband and wife were coming, and I had their children had already been saved, and I had baptized them, and the daddy was not very interested. You know, he had grown up in a different faith, probably in his, his early 30s, and not much of a interest in the gospel. He'd come occasionally to church just to pacify her, and we husbands know all what that's all about. You know, that was his way of keeping his wife happy. One Sunday morning, I noticed as I was preaching, and he had a sister-in-law that had she was one of those, we all kind of have our gifts in the church, and she was one of those that really had a heart for the lost. I tell you what, every time she was at the church house, she would request prayer for a lost friend or a lost loved one, and every once in a while, she would just come right out and say, I'm praying for my brother-in-law. And he'd be sitting right there, and I'm thinking, he just going like that. And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, she's going to run him off. Well, she made that request that Sunday morning. Well, the service went a little longer when the Holy Spirit was there, and people were rejoicing. And I don't know if we had anybody saved, but we had a wonderful service. And I noticed he eased out a little bit early. Come to find out, he had a tea time, so he had gone to the golf course. But while he's at the golf course, he'd had to leave the golf course early. And you say, well, how did you know this, Brother Johnny? Along about 2 o'clock in the morning, I got a phone call. Well, you all know as ministers, Brother Boyd, that a 2 o'clock phone call is usually not a good thing. You know, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, what's happened? And it was his wife, and I could hardly hear what she was saying. She said, Brother Johnny, she says, Kenny's in the bed beside me. I said, I want you to talk to him. Well, no, he can't talk to you. I said, he's so happy. He just got saved, and he's got his hands up in the air, and he can't get them down. He was laying there in the bed just praising the Lord, praising the Lord. Well, since that time, the Lord called him to preach. And now pray for his grandkids. He's got grandkids and not doing a lot of preaching, but you know the Lord has used him in his way. And he's up in years now. He's sick. But I don't mind telling you, that was one of the best phone calls I ever got. He's one of my dearest friends now. And I bring that up to say this. The greatest thing that ever happened to me when I was a 13-year-old boy, when the Lord spoke peace to my soul. Now, I'm probably one of the most blessed men in this house, this church house this morning, and I hope you all feel that way. You know, married my high school sweetheart, got 2 great kids, my son's called to preach, my son-in-law's called to preach, and I promise you I didn't call him, God did. You know, sometimes when we're preachers, you think, you know, you had such an influence. I'm going to tell you, I didn't have that kind of influence on them. It was a God thing. I've got 7 grandchildren. He saved 2 of them, and he's working on another. And as I've told you this week at the church I pastored, he's been the altar time too. He's about 13. So he's ripe, if you know what I mean. And when the time is right, he'll seek and find the Lord. I know that he will. And I know the Lord's going to save the rest of my grandchildren. And you know, but you know what I want more than anything here this morning is if you're not saved, that you get saved. You know what? The sweetest words that my daughter has ever spoken to me, and she was born in 1981, so she will be 41 years old tomorrow. But she was 7 years old, and she looked up at me as she was bowing at an altar of prayer, and she said, "Daddy, I'm saved." Those are the sweetest words that she's ever said to me. Now, she's been a wonderful daughter, and she loves her daddy, and her daddy loves her. She's my little peach, and she'll always be my little peach. But the sweetest words I ever heard from her, she said, was, "Daddy, I'm saved." What I want to do this morning with the help of the Lord is I want to talk a little bit about the process of getting saved. Now, I want to do this by using the example of, I believe, when the psalmist David got saved. And that's in the 116th Psalm. Now, again, there's a couple of things I want to say about that before I get started. Everybody's salvation experience doesn't sound the same, okay? Because we're individuals, and so the things that happen with us, we respond to a little bit differently, and we even express them a little bit differently. But I want you to know, if you've been saved, we all got it the same way. All right? We all got it, my friends, by hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. But even before that, there was that realization that we were a sinner that needed a Savior. And I don't mind telling you, we live in a world today where people just don't want to hear that. Oh, they just don't. And I always like to emphasize that. I've said it a lot through this week already, is that we're all sinners. There's only three kinds of us here. There's those that are sinners saved by grace, and there's the sinners that need to be saved by grace, and then there's those that are young and not accountable yet, and they are under grace, all right? But they're sinners too. They came out of the womb as sinners. They are not sinners because they sin, but they sin because they're sinners. And we need to understand that. We all need a Savior at some point in time in our lives. And I believe that our Savior, by way of His Word and the Holy Spirit, either preached or testified or a parent speaking to Him, is that's God's way of making you aware of your need. And I believe God deals with every individual that reaches that age of accountability. Now, I'll tell you what I feel like may seem to be a little unfair. There'll be those that were not raised in church that'll hear the gospel and never get saved, and you think, and then die in their sins and go to hell. Then there'll be people that grew up in church and heard the gospel time and time and time again. Many of them will be saved, but no doubt some of them will reject the gospel and they'll die and go to hell too. Doesn't seem quite fair, does it? That one would get to hear it all those times and another one would not. But my friends, let me explain something to you. There's nowhere in the Word of God where fair is mentioned. All right? I hate when people say, "That's just not fair." Well, let me tell you something. We have a merciful and a loving God, and He'll do everything He can, I believe, with every individual to bring them to a place of repentance and faith. That's the loving God we are. Folks, God so loved the world. The world. That world means you and me and everybody else. All right? So if you die in your sins, it'll be because you rejected Christ. Now let's talk this morning a little bit about the process, okay, that takes place. Well, and first, let's read starting in the 116th Psalm, verse 1. It says, "I love the Lord because He has heard my voice and my supplication." I don't mind telling you this morning, child of God, you and I need to tell the world often how much we love the Lord. And if I were to ask you this morning, why do you love the Lord? There's the laundry list of stuff you could say. But I'm going to be honest with you. The first thing that ought to come out of your mouth as the reason that you love the Lord is what? What is it? Because you're proud you're an American or love your wife? Or what? No. I love the Lord because He saved my soul. And I tell you what, when I see Him face to face, just like I do it now, I want to tell Him, "Lord, thank You for having mercy on me. Because, Lord, I probably wouldn't have saved me. But I'm glad You did." And so David's saying, "I love the Lord because He's heard my prayer and supplication." Now I want to stop here and say this. That's not the only time the Lord heard David. The Lord heard David many times. But I guarantee what David is talking about, and I'll say this. We're not absolutely positively sure this David doing this talking here. I think it is, and you can have your own opinion, because really when you're reading the commentaries, we're not sure. But the psalmist David wrote a lot of the psalms, and I'm pretty sure it's him. So I'm going to go on assuming it is, all right? He says, listen now, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplication. Those of you here that are unsaved, I want you to know this morning that if you will seek him with all your heart, he will hear your voice and he will hear your supplication. Now, let me very quickly, and I'm sorry I'm analyzing, but I kind of want to get into this. Supplication is not, oh, Lord, save me. You know, save me, Lord. If you ain't got anything else to do, save me. No, it's, Lord, oh, please save me. Lord, I need to be saved. A supplication, my friends, is an earnest plea, I believe. That's what he's referencing there. He said, because he hath inclined his ear, therefore will I call upon him as long as he lives. He's heard me. Don't you doubt for a minute. And I know this is hard for our little minds to comprehend, but if Brother Randy's praying and Brother Board's praying, Sister Lisa's praying, Sister Kathy's praying, Sister Brenda's praying, Sister Dwayne's praying, Sister Jim's praying, he can hear them all at the same time. And just like he's paying attention to just one. That's the kind of God we serve. Folks, please, please, please. If I don't ever convince you of anything else this week, and I know your good pastor does, don't put my God in a little matchbox. Oh, no, 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 no. I serve a great, almighty, all-knowing, all-wise, and knows just what to do kind of God. I won't make him big as I can. So big, sometimes people just can't comprehend him all, but they'll comprehend him enough if they'll just incline themselves to him. Now, let's go on, all right? He says, then listen to what he says. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Now, anybody here that's been saved, can you relate to that? Yes. Oh, my goodness. You heard me say the other night, I grew up in there a lot of churches, and the church I was going to when I realized I was lost, it was in the summertime, and it's hot, and I'd go out and play, and then, of course, we'd come to church at night, and it seemed already like it was hot, but all I'd have to do is walk inside the church doors, and it's just like the Holy Spirit would go. And it would be tugging at my heart when I was lost all day long, but, boy, when I walked in that church house, it was just like, whoom. Oh, I felt like everybody's looking at me and the Lord's thumb's on me. And I don't even know if I'm going to make it to that front pew or not. I feel such convicting power. And you know what I would think? And I'd heard it all my life as a little sinner, as a little boy before I became a sinner boy. Those people are praying. Oh, yeah. You see, I grew up hearing about the pea patch religion. Y'all know what the pea patch religion, Macon County, is that when people would ride their wagons to church, they'd be folks down in the pea patch praying for the revival. And you could hear them on the old dirt road in their wagons. They'd be down there behind the barn and down the pea patch crying out to God. And you know, a lot of times they said, I'd hear my name come out of their mouth. And they'd be behind us. It wouldn't be long. They'd be the church house. It'd be people praying for the lost, my friends. And you know why? You know why? Because they understood, and you and I understand this morning, without conviction, there can be no conversion. Yeah, we need to, and you need to remember that. Without conviction, let me say, that's the drawing power of God. And you know what's so wonderful about it? And it's not wonderful when it's happening. Oh, no, 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 no. It's like God's just picked you out of all the millions down here. And right now, he's dealing specifically with you, just you. That convicting power is God's loving way. And I'm thinking, no, it didn't feel too loving to me when he's doing it. But it's his loving way of drawing me to him. What a personal and wonderful God. Psalmist David said, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplication. He didn't say everybody's voice and everybody's supplication. You know what he did? He made it personal. He made it, John. You know what? When the Lord convicted me, he convicted Johnny Carver. He may have convicted the whole rest of the church house, but as far as I'm concerned, I was the only one in the beam of his scope at that time. And you know what? Now I look back, I like that. I like that. You know what God was giving me? I grew up in the house of five, and I'm the oldest. I felt like I was neglected. You know, everybody else, the young, they got all the attention, it seemed like to me. And that wasn't the case. You know how you are. I go and fetch. My mama was better than me probably than any of them. But don't you tell them, because I'll have to deny it. But anyway, the fact of the matter is, when God got to dealing with me,
Don't, it was personal. it was me and him. And oh, I just kept thinking, oh Lord, I just don't know how to do this. What I do? And I remember when I was a little sinner boy, you know what I do? And I tell you what, I wanted to be saved so bad I couldn't stand it. And Brother Boyd, I'd sit right there on the front pew. Every time I'd go to the church house, I wanted to hear every word. I want to hear every testimony. I didn't want to miss anything. I said, there must be something I'm not doing right, so I want to get it all in. And oh my goodness, folks, I heard testimony after testimony, preaching after preaching. And I was trying my best to earn my salvation, just like the rest of the world is today, because if they'd quit trying to earn it, they could come by repentance and faith and get it just like that. But no, they want to work for it, and they want to be baptized for it. They want to, you know what? You know why a lot of people never get saved? Because they want credit for part of it. Yeah, they won't say, I did this to get saved. Well, I'm going to tell you what I did to get saved. Absolutely nothing but get out of the way so God could do it. That's what it dawned on me. For 3 years I prayed and sought God everywhere I could stick my head. And part of me is kind of ashamed of that. I'm ashamed that it took me that long, but I'm not ashamed that I kept on till I got it. I thank God that I did that. But you know how many times it took me to pray to get saved? I tell people all the time, the hardest thing I ever did was get saved. Until I got to the point to get saved, then it was the easiest thing that I ever did. Matter of fact, I thought it was too easy. But yet, it's because God does it. And you just need to get out of the way and let Him do it. That's what David did. And listen to what he said now. He said, the sorrows of death compassed me and the pains of hell got hold upon me and I found trouble and sorrow. What's that mean to you and me? That's that heavy load. That's that burden of sin. That's that feeling of condemnation. That's that hand in the cookie jar feeling when mama comes around the corner and you're not supposed to be there. You're caught. Okay? Yeah, you're caught. One little boy, when he was telling about his salvation experience, he made the statement, and I hope you can relate to this. There was a football player by the name of Warren Sapp. He played for the Oakland Raiders and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He was a defensive lineman, and he weighed about 350 pounds. Okay? And then, you know what he said? He said when we heard the preaching, all of a sudden it felt like to me that Warren Sapp sat on my chest. I was so heavy. It was that heavy. And I knew exactly what he was talking about. You know, it's amazing how we talk about it in different ways. People will say it just felt like everybody was looking at me and I was the most wicked person in the room and it was a 10-year-old girl that hadn't done enough to say boo about. But yet God knew exactly what she needed to understand what her need was. And she needed a Savior, although she'd been a pretty good little girl. And the fact of the matter is, if we'd have lined up all the people in the world, the mean ones, she'd probably be in the top 1% of the good ones. But you know what percent of good ones get to heaven that never get saved? 0%. If you don't get saved, you don't get to heaven. You need Jesus. You need Jesus to lift that heavy burden. What happened? Now let's see what happened with David. Did that happen? What did David do? Now here's the next thing. The convicting power came. We call it conviction, a heavy heart, a burden, whatever lets you know. And you know what's unique about it? Is that you know, I'd heard all my life as a young boy about what it meant to be lost. Okay? And I knew I wanted to be saved. But I hadn't been lost up until I was lost. But you know, the very minute I realized I was lost, I didn't need the preacher to tell me I was lost anymore. I knew. And I told y'all the other night, and you need to remember this, moms and dads, they'll begin to ask a lot of questions. And then they'll say, Mom, what's it feel like to be lost? All you have to say to them is, you'll know. Amen. You'll know. I knew. Okay? The heaviness of sin. Now, what you need to work on, Mom and Dad, get them under the gospel. Bring them to God's house often and always. Take them to these other revivals. They need to be exposed to the gospel. God's going to use somebody to say just the right thing, or the preacher's going to preach just the right thing that's going to convince them what they need to do to be saved. Often and always until they find the Lord. And then after that, get them involved so they can help their buddies get saved. Did you know my best friend in all the world got saved when he was about 13 years old?
Folks, I'll never forget that, how God worked in his life. And all in the world would do is just bring them to church on a Wednesday night. Oh, we can have such an influence if we will. And that's another sermon, so let's move on here if we can. What did David do once he said, the sorrows of death compassed me and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. What'd you do, David? Well, I shook the preacher's hand, or I got baptized. That's what David did. You see it right in there? No, that ain't book, chapter, and verse. You know what the Bible says he did? Then called I upon the name of the Lord. He said, oh, Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Now, there's one of those words we use every day. I beseech you to do that. I beseech. See, that's why we need to study God's word. You know what that word beseech means? Beg. Now, I heard a preacher say one time, he said, I just don't believe you got to beg God to save you. I said, well, if you're sincere, you can call it what you want to call it. It's got to be with all your heart at the end of yourself. And I said, begging's the best way for me to explain it. But all that means is just when you're calling out to God, you understand you're a sinner. Repentance, and you know, there's that word. We use that word all the time too, repent. All repent is, I'm sorry for my sin. Godly sorrow worketh repentance. And if I'm sorry for my sin, the only way I can turn from that sin with God's help is turn to the one that can cleanse and save me and make me his own. And at that same time, God will grant you that. But you know what? You've got to be praying that God will bring you to the end of yourself. And you know what? I don't know how to experience that for you. That's where I believe. And this is what I love about the old time way. We don't tell people they're all right. We don't tell people, well, if you've had a good cry and you feel better, you're saved. We don't do that. Let me explain something to you about a good cry. If you feel really bad and you're hurt and you cry real hard, I guarantee you, whether you get saved or not, you're going to feel better. But that's not salvation. Amen. Salvation, listen carefully, is peace with God. Yeah. You know what that means? That heavy burden of worn sap sitting on your chest is gone. I remember the very moment that happened to me. That's my time and place. Do you remember it? Yeah. Whew. That's good. I love to talk about it. I like to kind of go back and experience it again. As a matter of fact, I've experienced God's power so many times since then, folks. Just running back there is good because I get to experience all those wonderful times getting back there that I've had since there. Because that's the God we serve. He wants to fill you and thrill you. It's the love of God that's shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us, my friends. Yeah. You know the first fruit of the Spirit, first things you experience? When God's Spirit comes into your heart, Galatians 5:22, it's love, it's joy, it's peace. Paul called it in the Philippian letter, a peace that passeth all understanding. I can't explain it. All I can tell you is I got it. And you need to experience it. Oh, friends, listen to what happened now. Now, what happened with David? He called upon the Lord. Okay. He said, I call. And you know what that means? He could do it right there in your seat. But I'm going to tell you what. The biggest enemy of God is not Satan. You know what the biggest enemy of God is? Pride. Pride. Satan invented pride. And anytime you and I are too proud to seek God, we're in Satan's hip pocket. We just are. Because pride, you know what the Bible says about pride? Pride comes before the fall. In all of us. You know, we Baptist people can have some pride. We're not real careful. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says God resists the proud, even save proud. But you know what he does to those that are humble? He grants them grace. You know what that is? Unmerited favor. That means God giving you what you don't deserve. What I like to say about grace, you know, grace is God not giving me what I deserve and giving me what I do not deserve. And see, God grants you, and this is really difficult even for the sinner. But do you know that God grants you repentance? You know what that means? Is when you come to your end of yourself, God enables you to let go of whatever it is that's hindering you with a sorrowful heart on account of the fact that you are dependent on yourself instead of God. And then he enables you to jump into his arms and saving grace. He grants that grace. For by grace are you saved through faith. Listen, that not of yourselves. What is it? It's a gift of God. Oh, little sinner buddy, all you have to do to be saved is seek the Lord with all your heart. Now, what happened when David did here? What is the next thing? He says, gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. Sounds like a fella got something, didn't he? Oh, no, he didn't feel it, though. He just knew it happened. And I want to say sometimes, if he knew it happened, how'd he know? What happened? Well, the burden went away. I've used it twice, and we'll use it again this morning. They asked a young boy one time, how did he know he was saved? He looked up at him and said, I was there. He said, I was there. What do you mean you were there? Well, I was there when it happened. You see, were you there when it happened? And this morning, if you want to be saved, you need to be there when it happens. And that means wherever that is. And I tell you what, the cost, Jesus, when it came time, got up out of his seat at the right hand of the Father and headed for the world. And then it began. Then when he was finished dying for your sins, shedding his blood so you could be saved, he went back and sat right back down. And he did that for you. And don't you think for one minute that it wasn't homesickness and pain and heartache and disappointment. If your children ever disappointed you, your husband or your wife ever disappointed you, I don't believe Jesus ever had a human being when he walked on the face of this earth that did not disappoint him. Even his mama went to see him one time when he was preaching and said, you need to come home. You've lost your mind. His brothers, he was preaching somewhere and somebody said, your mama and your brothers are outside. And he said, my mama and my brothers are right here. All y'all that have been saved are my mama and my brothers. You know what they just thought he was losing his mind. So everybody disappointed you. But you know what? He stayed the course. Stayed the course. I'm going to tell you what I probably would have done. They don't love me no way. Lord, just bring me on back up there. I'm tired of doing all this stuff. I don't want to do it anymore. They don't love me no way. They don't care about me. Oh, me, I hope he don't say that about me now. Oh, and I know I've disappointed him so many times, but he's the best thing ever happened to me. And if you're here today and you're lost, he can be the best thing that ever happened to you. You see, I believe in a walk with the Lord every day. I believe when you're a child of the King, you need to be in his church doing everything you can to help in every way. Now, you'll make mistakes and you can fall away a little bit, but thank the Lord, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and put us right back there where we need to be. Best thing a daddy can ever do in the world is get his kids in church and talk to them about the Lord. My wife was the best in the world. We sat around the supper table, and boy, we need to do that again. We need to know what everything is going on in the lives of our kids. And we would sit and talk about things that were going on, and we talk about the Lord just like he was right there with a plate with us. And we'll just have to talk to the Lord about that. And we'll just have to pray for this friend, and we'll just have to do that. Let me tell you something. God needs to be a part of every man's life. And I'll tell you what, it's not a sissy to be a Christian. I tell you what it is to be a child of the King. It's a man that stands for the God that saved him, and he deserves every bit of the honor and the glory and the praise that you can give him with every breath of your life this morning. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's my big brother, Lisa. And you know what? I'm proud of him, and I want everybody to know that I'm proud of him because he's the best thing that ever happened to me. Let me bring this thing to a close if I can this morning. I love what it says here. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. Listen, the Lord preserveth the simple. I was 13. How many of you here were saved when you were a child? 8 or 9 or 10 or 11. Raise your hand. Yeah, I tell you what you were. You were pretty simple. You didn't have any high degree to impress the Lord with your prayer or what you had to say. You just said, Lord, be merciful to me. Please save me. Please save me. My sweet mama never heard anybody pray. She heard somebody down there say, save me. And so she just said, Lord, save me. That's all. She didn't know how to pray. Never heard anybody pray when she was 13 years old. So don't tell me you've got to be an architect of some great prayer to impress God. You know what the Lord says? Man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looks on the liver. No, looks on the stomach. He looks on the ears or the nose. No, God looks on the heart. He knows the real person you are. And oh, yeah. You know, my kids are grown now. I got grandkids. I still want to be the best daddy I can be. But I know the only way I can be a good daddy is that the Lord be a good daddy through me. See, I get that. I pray you get that too. Oh, encourage your kids. Talk to them about the Lord. You say, I'm not much a Christian. I don't know enough. Have you been saved? Have you been saved? Have you been to the foot of the cross? Has God spoken to your soul? Then you got something to tell them. You do. Now get in the Bible and tell them a little more. But you at least got that to tell them. Encourage them. Yeah. Oh, I want my kids under the gospel every minute. Yes, sirree. Oh, bring them where they're going to find. Hey, listen, let me tell you something. I hope both my children one day become multimillionaires. And every word out of their mouth would be, and the Lord did that for me, and the Lord did that for me. And if they never become multimillionaires, it won't make any difference to me. And I don't care. One's a school teacher, one's a stay-at-home mom. And you know what? I still want them to say, I am this because the Lord lets me be this. He empowers me to be this. Let me tell you something. The best thing you ever did, my friend, was get saved by the grace of God. And the next best thing you'll ever do is walk right beside Him. No, walk right behind Him. Beside Him every once in a while, you won't tell Him what He needs to be doing. But if you walk behind Him, you can see what He's doing, and then you can mimic it. Yeah, based on the Word of God and the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And let me close with this now. I'm going to be listening to what He says. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with me. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. Let me read all this. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Yeah. That's where we'll wind up. And it says, I believe, therefore I have spoken. I was greatly afflicted. Listen, I said in my haste, all men are liars. I sought the Lord 3 years, and I'm thinking, I just don't believe y'all's God's going to save me. I don't know why I'm doing wrong. That's what some people feel like. Until they get down to business with God. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and do what? And call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows. Do you remember when you were seeking the Lord that you promised the Lord you'd do anything in the world for Him? You remember that? Somewhere in that prayer, I'm sure you said, Lord, I'll do anything if you'll just save me. Are you still keeping that vow? I just wonder. And He says, in the presence of the people. And then I love this. Oh, I love this verse. Precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of one of His saints. Well, that don't seem very good. Oh, but think about it. Lord's up in glory. He says to the death angel, go down there and get Johnny. Yeah, go down there and get him. He may not know you're coming, but go get him. And whatever happens to Johnny, heart attack, whatever. We don't want to leave our loved ones. But this is the very moment it's gone, then we'll wait for our loved ones over there. But you know, and we take our ride to glory. Don't know what it's like, but I like to think about it. Maybe it's a little bright spot and gets brighter and brighter and brighter, and then boom. And you know what I'll say to people? There He is. Who? God. And the blessed Lamb right beside Him. Oh, my goodness. And I tell you, running and running till you get there. Oh, folks, ain't nothing like it. Yeah, precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of one of His saints. My mom and daddy both gone. Boy, I'd like to hug their neck. Oh, I would. I'm going to. But I wouldn't dare bring them back to do it. No, I'm going to run to Him when I get there. Yeah, it'll be the best hug we've ever had, I suppose. Let me say this in closing again. Now, I promise I am going to close. It says, O Lord, truly I am Thy servant. Say, person. I am Thy servant, the son of Thine handmaiden. Thou hast loosed my bonds. O Lord, truly I am Thy servant. No, it says, I will offer to Thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and will call upon the name of the Lord. That's how others get saved. I'll pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of His people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of old Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord. If you're here this morning and you know in your heart that you're lost, you know. Now, I tell you, me looking at you doesn't condemn you. When you know this morning if you're lost and separated from God. God is dealing with you. You feel the heaviness of sin this morning. And I want you to know the devil will do everything he can to hinder you. He'll say, you've got plenty of time, just like the sweet lady sang about. Don't take care of it today. You're 11, 12 years old. Well, you can get saved until you're 80. Oh, my goodness, I wouldn't take that chance. How many of you looked at the newspaper this morning? Raise your hand. And how many of y'all went to the obituaries in the newspaper this morning? Okay. Maybe didn't. But if you did, what were the age range in there? Nobody in there ever dies below 60. Just doesn't happen. It's not in there. We all know better than that. Yeah, there's all age groups. Every once in a while, there's an infant. Every once in a while, there's a 10-year-old. Mommy or daddy backed over him in the car. Tragedies of life. So don't you bank on having one more minute this morning. You come and seek the Lord right now. Don't you come because this preacher is begging you to come, and I'm begging you to come. Don't you do that. You come because God's sitting with you. Without conviction, there's no conversion. If God's dealing with you, would you come and make peace with Him? While we stand together and sing a verse of a song, Brother Mike, would you get us a song? Get us a song. Stand together. If you need to pray, please come. Let us pray with you. We can't save you, but we can sure pray God convicts you. Thank you for hearing me.